I am thrilled to say that we have a young man with us who I think is an incredibly, exceptionally talented young man. Josh Bolt, thank you so much for joining me, even though you're knackered.
Oh, thanks, Pete. Thanks.
So you're knackered, why?
I haven't stopped. I'm right in the middle of filming series 10 of Benidorm, and I've had my week off, and I've been in London all week having meetings for other things, which is great, which is productively, it's brilliant. But I've just got back to Liverpool tonight, and I'm exhausted.
You are on a roll.
Yeah.
You are absolutely on a roll with your work. It's amazing.
Thanks,
you've done some incredible stuff. I mean, a huge fan of Last Tango in Halifax.
Thank you, mate.
You must be elated with some of your stuff.
Yeah, I'm very, very, very lucky. I mean, something like Last Tango in Halifax is a job that doesn't, you know, speaking to some of the actors on that, who've been in the business for, you know, years, and they were, you know, Sarah Lancashire was saying that, you know, she hasn't had a job like that in years. And for me to get that part at 17 was ridiculous, you know, from every aspect, as a learning experience, as a young actor, as to be around, you know, to be able to perform Sally Wainwright's writing script is a gift in itself. To be able to work with, you know, Sir Derek Jacobi, Anne Reid, Nicola Walker, Sarah Lancashire, Dean Andrews, all these amazing people and learn from them and just watch what they do, and then, you know, try and hold your own against them is brilliant.
Why do you think you got it?
I went for the audition. Like any audition comes through, you go in and you read for it, and it was a long wait, actually. It was about 3 weeks, which is quite a long time to hear back. And then they offered me it, and they still hadn't cast Nicola playing my mum. We knew Derek was doing it. I've no idea. I don't know whether I was just right for it because it played to my strengths. It played to the fact he was sort of a sweet, sensitive lad who looked after his mum on the farm. He was, you know, he saw a father figure in his granddad, and maybe that resonated with them through what I did. Maybe.
It's tremendous. I mean, you must have a hell of an office to get the work you're getting.
Yeah, I don't know. As I say, luck is part of it. I think
talent.
I don't want, you know, I don't want to sell myself. I know I've got to a sort
I'll
of,
sell you.
Yeah.
I'm a fan, so I love your work.
Thanks,
so
Pete.
I'll sell it. But luck is a little bit, but talent also is very important.
I think I've been doing this professionally since I was 12. I did a play at the Playhouse. I went to an open audition and I got it, and it was Much Ado About Nothing. Which was directed by a guy called Phil Wilmot. And that was my sort of introduction to this mental world of what acting is. And I was I'd never wanted to act before. I'd never had any interest in it. And I literally went to this open audition. I started making people laugh in my drama class in school. Not like after hours, it was just on the curriculum. I had to do it. And one day, I don't know what happened, I just started, you know, making the other kids in class laugh, and I got sent to this open audition, did it, got it, and then thought, wasn't really bothered, it was exciting, it was something different, but I ended up doing it. And the actors in the show, they weren't, you know, well-known actors, Simon Merrill's, Sally Ann Triplett, they are big in the theatre world, but not, you know, what constitutes as famous or celebrity. But it was captivating, and for me, as a young, you know, 11, 12-year-old boy, I just thought, it fascinated me. And then from then, my chaperone, who was a lovely woman called Jenny Ryan, got me in touch with Cheryl Parsons, who runs a Liverpool drama group, which was in an old church in Egbeth called Eula, which is young, undiscovered Liverpool actors. And I literally just used to go there every Saturday, and we'd just improvise and mess about. And it was just, you know, sort of from there, getting to hang around with other people my age who wanted to do the same thing. And that was it. And then she also ran a part-time casting agency, which through that got me my first proper job, which was a feature film.
First proper job was a feature film?
Yeah, wow. Again, which is mental. I was 13, and it was called The Be-All and End-All. And it was about a young guy dying of cardiomyopathy, which is a really rare heart disease where your heart basically just implodes. And it was a 100 grand film, which is not a lot. It sounds like a lot of money, but it's in the industry, that's nothing. Once you've paid the crew and some of the cast and food and location, it's. And Lisa Tarbuck was in it, who it was her first feature film as well. And Conor McIntyre, who's now has had a resurgence as Pat in Coronation Street, he played my dad. And it was brilliant, and it was a lovely film. And Bruce Webb, the director, who's now still a good friend, again, sort of introduced me to what film is, which is a completely different style of acting as opposed to theatre. Yeah. And interestingly, I haven't done another play since. That was the first and last play I've done.
So all you're doing is film and television? Telling. Wow.
Yeah. I'd love to do theatre, I'd love to, but I've never had an opportunity to do it again.
What did your folks say when you said, I'm going to be an actor? Were they shocked?
They were.
Did they sense it?
I think they sensed it because I've always been a bit of a, what's the right word?
Show off?
Yeah.
Poser?
Basically, yeah. A bit of a sort of...
but with lines.
yeah, basically. A clown, basically. And so they saw... I don't know whether they knew that was what I wanted to do. I don't think they all realised how hard it was going to be. I don't think I realised how difficult it was going to be. But they've always been so, so supportive. And I think as well, what was lovely was to be so successful so young. But then, you know, after The Be All and End All, I then did a film called Nowhere Boy, which was directed by Sam Taylor Wood and Kristen Scott Thomas and Dave Morrissey and Aaron Johnson, all these brilliant people were in. So in the space of 2 years of me suddenly deciding I wanted to be an actor, I did a play, a really independent, you know, low-budget feature film, and then Nowhere Boy, which, you know, won a BAFTA and was a slightly bigger scale film. So this all happened before I was 14. And I thought, oh, this is easy. And it's not. It wasn't. And then I didn't work for 3 years.
Now, tell me, have you kept your feet on the ground? Because off air, we were talking, and we won't mention names, but off air, we were talking about people who, it goes to the head. We're both in the same industry. Yeah. And my producer over there, Jonathan, has seen it in radio. We've all seen it in whatever side of the industry.
Exactly.
How have you kept your feet on the ground?
Family, big part of it. Friends. There's literally no chance of me ever getting big-headed because as soon as I come home and see my mum, dad, sisters, my brother, any my nan's granddads, there's no chance of me. Not in a, they put me down. They just sort of take the mick. Do you know what I mean? There's literally no way of me ever. I hope not. I don't think so. But also, I've been very lucky to the people I have worked with have been very grounded, real people who treat it as a job and then, you know, leave work at work. And that's sort of taught me that it is just a job at the end of the day.
I love when you say that because I always remember talking to Cilla about when she was at the Palladium. She held the record for being at the Palladium and they didn't have motorways, but she decided to come home one Sunday for Sunday lunch. She was desperate to see her folks, but she was working and she drove home through the night. And it was 12 hours and it was crazy. And she walked in the door and Dad was there and he went, what are you doing in my seat? Which is the same as your family.
Exactly.
It's that, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, really, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, they love it. They absolutely love everything I do and they support everything, you know. But as soon as I come home, you know, it's just, you know, I'm still
the only
just,
child?
No, I've got half siblings. I've got half sister and another half sister and brother, but they're
not
just
in the industry.
No, oh God, no, they're all 10 years younger than me. So you know, they probably all will be. They're all as loud as me, so I don't know. But yeah, who knows?
Is that your real name, by the way?
It is, yeah. Yeah, Joshua Ryan Bolt.
Because Shirley Bassey said that. That's my real name, because if I'm famous, I want people to know it's me.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
Good stage name.
It is, isn't it? No, do you know what? A lot of people give me that. A lot of people say that. Is it a stage? It's not at all, no.
Right, let's pick up where we left off. You said, so all that work, and then 3 years, nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you do?
Well, after Nowhere Boy, I got a London agent, which was fantastic, and then went back to school, did my GCSEs, and basically spent 3 years on the train to London, going for anything and everything. And, you know, the way it's hysterical, the things you go for, because some of the parts that will come through are, you know, ridiculous, and you know you're not going to get it. And sometimes it's an audition for something mental like Game of Thrones, and sometimes it's an audition for a short film that is, you know, no one's ever heard of. And did that for 3 years and didn't get anything. And that was it. And I just thought, and I had this high of, you know, doing these two films and going to New York and going to Rome and Monte Carlo and all these film festivals. And then nothing. And then I genuinely thought, like, crap, is this, you know, am I, it was lovely while it lasted.
Because you question yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You begin to start.
Everybody does in this industry.
Even now, you know, still I go. And then one day, I don't know what happened, I got to 17 and I went for Shameless, and that happened. And then I played a rapist in Shameless. And then from that, haven't really stopped, with, you know, give or take a couple of months, but I've always since then sort of done a lot of lovely telly.
What's been interesting, it's fascinating me, and I'm curious to know how you feel about this. You've watched yourself grow up in Benidorm.
Yeah.
You've grown up.
Yeah.
You've actually... It's like when you watch Coronation Street or EastEnders. Yeah. You see Ken's granddaughter growing up. Well, yeah. You know, that's a bad choice because they've changed it three times. But no, you know what I mean? All of a sudden, you've got hair now.
I've got hairs on my chest and everything. It's weird.
But isn't it weird?
Yeah,
it is. And your mum and dad and family are watching...
Yeah,
you growing up in front of them as well.
It is weird because all of my sort of teenage life has been documented on TV or film, which is lovely to look back on. You know, Last Tango Series 1, I was 17. Series 2, I was 19. Series 3, I was 20. We did a special last year. I was 22. Do you know what I mean? It's bizarre, and yet I'm still meant to be roughly 18. You know, and the weight gains and the weight losses is hysterical over the series, and the same with Benidorm. You know, I sort of joined as a 20-year-old lad who had a rough idea of, you know, what he was doing and, you know, thought it was all good. And, you know, the storyline Darren gave me was brilliant. It was so lovely because I was just sort of this support to my little sister. I just sort of took care of her. A wonderful actress who was in that, on an Eve, she was in Babs the other night.
You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to say, she disappeared off Benidorm and finished up in Babs.
Yes, and she's amazing. She is one of those people, and I've said it, since I met her, since the first scene I had with her, you know when people go, oh, you watch out, she's going to be a star. She will genuinely win a BAFTA one day. She's ridiculous. I remember the first day on set, the director gave her a note. She took herself off, spoke to herself. She was 10. She took herself off, spoke to herself, did it, come back, did it in one take. And it was genuinely like, you know when people have just got, without sounding cliche, that X factor, whatever it is that makes us that. Yeah. She's got it in like buckets.
Your character in Benidorm is a very likeable character, and it's taken a while. And by the way, we have been talking in the ad breaks, and I know what's going on in the next series, and you're not getting one little bit of that, just so you know, just to irritate you all out there. You're going to have to wait. What I want to say is I was thrilled that in this last series we just finished, you now are mates with the lads because you've grown up a bit to go into that level, to be with them.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, sort of last year, there was a lot more with Danny Walters and Nathan Byron, who play Joey and Tiger. And they're brilliant, they're fantastic together. But it was lovely when, Darren started putting me in there as, you know, the third lad, because, as I said to you before, you know, there's so many young lads in Benidorm, and that's something that's never really been on the show. And it's such a laugh because it is so fun, because we're all so different. You know, Danny's this sort of Essex, beautiful young man who's, you know, all about the quiff and the sort of... And Nathan's this sort of mental, brilliantly funny sort of, lad who's from West London and he's all a bit manic. And,
which Darren told me was an accident the way it happened.
Yeah.
How he got in it.
Yeah, he did the read-through. Yeah. He did the read-through as just a guy coming to read, and they went, he's brilliant. Yeah. I think they'd been looking for... Yeah. I don't know how many lads they auditioned, but they auditioned a lot of lads. And then he'd come in just as like a favour, will you come and read the lines in it, the read-through? And he was there then. And it's been brilliant. I mean, everyone on that job, it is like, you know, I've been so lucky, as I say, out of my career to work with so many brilliant people. But everybody on Benidorm is such a laugh. Everyone is so lovely. And it is like a fact. You do end up in this bubble.
Well, yeah, but it's not just a family. You've got all the tourists, because we've got a listener right now called Pat Crawford, who has for 27 years talked about soaps and television every Monday. She's on holiday right now. She's in Benidorm. She goes. She's had the photos the other night.
Yeah.
She's been talking to Darren about, I do Pete Price's show.
Oh, really?
Because you get all the listeners going over.
Yeah.
And they stay in the hotel.
No, honest to God, it's insane the amount of people that do stay in the Sol Pelicanos, which acts as the Solana.
Yeah.
And from, you know, everybody's lovely, and it's so nice. It's so lovely when they do come up and you know, ask for a photo or just say hello. But it baffles me. It's mental how some holidaymakers, they sit in the pool from 8 o'clock in the morning till half past 8 at night. and just watch us.
Just watch it.
All day in the pool, in a T-shirt, holding on to, honest to God. It's bizarre, and you know, it's lovely to an extent, but then you go, because you know what filming's like. Once you've seen it for 15 minutes, it's exciting. You go, oh, lovely. But then it's the same thing over and over again for hours and hours and hours. And they sit and they watch. And it's bizarre. I've never been on a job like it where the people are so obsessed with the characters. But which speaks, you know, for Darren, for his brilliant writing and for the characters he's created.
Can you have a night out or are you plagued?
The first year we did it was great because no one knew us. So it was fine. Then the second series, what we did last year, it was a bit... But this year has gotten it's for everyone's fine. It's just, you know, as you say, that they're on holiday. So they've been drinking, you know, the majority of people have been drinking all day. We finish work, we go out for one, and then you end.
It's nothing worse than drunks coming up to you. When you're not.
Yeah, well, you know exactly. When you're like 12 behind, and do you know what I mean? And you go in. and but everybody's is always lovely. There's never any trouble, which is, you know, a bizarre thing to say for Benidorm, but there's never any trouble.
Do you get a buzz when you hear Joan Collins is coming in?
Yeah, yeah. When people like, yeah, the guests, I will say the guest stars that Darren gets in are ridiculous. Yeah. So there's, you know, we had Madness last year, which was just amazing.
Dad said, it's Madness. Madness.
Yeah, exactly.
It's great piece.
It's brilliant because, you know, when you have people like Madness come in and Shane Ritchie as well, who's brilliant. And Joan Collins turns up and, I mean, you know, she was probably the one of the most, like, sort of, most glamorous people I've probably ever met. You know what I mean? It's sort of mental to see her in the flesh and yeah, it is lovely. You do get a buzz when these people come in.
The only time I ever criticise anything, and I rang Darren up and I said, Darren, I'm sorry, I'm not having Scylla as a swinger. She rang me.
Yeah.
And she rang me and then rang Paul O'Grady. And Paul O'Grady rang me and said, you just had the phone call? And I went, yes. She doesn't know whether to do it. Did you say the same as me? I said, yeah. You're soft. Get on there and do it. She was great on it.
Yeah. Oh, she was fantastic. Yeah. Everyone is. I mean, it's such a brilliant job. You know, it's such a laugh and it's so lucky to be around these people and watch them, you know, watch them all work and, you know, the brilliant characters, watching them all do it. You know, I'm very blessed in my family because we do get on like a house on fire because we were all thrust into it together. We had a lot to live up to in the Garveys, you know, to replace, to fill such big shoes. And, you know, Julie Graham, Steve Edge have become sort of surrogate parents out there, you know. Steve, who plays my dad, he's, you know, made me godfather to his firstborn child. It's like, that's how close it is. You know what I mean? We all see each other.
I got quite cross at them having to go on Twitter about the Garveys because I love the new family.
Thanks,
you know,
Pete,
everybody moves on. And the new family are very strong. I think it's an incredible relationship.
I think we're great.
I think you're great.
I mean, I love Steve Pemberton and Siobhan Fearn are brilliant actors. They're brilliant. And the Garveys were brilliant. And they...
And they've kept the same standard.
Yeah.
So they've got the Garveys, but a new family bought sensational actors.
Yeah. And it confuses me because people still on Twitter go, bring back the Garveys. Yeah. And you go, well, they did it for 7.5 years. They chose to leave. They chose to go and do all the brilliant things. Yeah. You know, we just...
Which actors do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why actors leave soap operas because they want to go on, ongoing dramas. I do apologise. But they do that.
Yeah, exactly,
you know, because they want to take other stuff, you know, and try other stuff.
Totally.
Where are you going with your career? Where do you want to go?
I'd love to just be... If I could be able to make a living out of what I'd love to do, then I'm happy. As long as I can keep on working with fantastic people, brilliant writers, brilliant directors, brilliant actors... and earn a living from it, then I'm happy. Obviously, it would be lovely to turn around one day and go, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio, but that's never going to happen. It would be lovely to reach the standard of, you know, my peers from Liverpool, say, Paul McGann, David Morrissey, Ian Hart, Stephen Graham. It would be lovely to get to their level. But at the minute, I'm just grateful and happy to, you know, continue to work and hopefully keep doing that and keep, you know, having lovely jobs.
Tell me, what advice would you give to people listening now who would love to be you, who would love to be an actor, who would love to... And you know, you talked about 3 years when you got nothing. Mm. And also, you're at that age. How old are you now?
Just 23 last week.
Right, 23. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
23 then, last week. You will change. I mean, you've got a young baby face, so you can adapt to being younger.
Yeah.
It's going to go through a stage, isn't it, where... Do you know what
totally.
I'm trying to say?
I mean,
say,
it's getting difficult now because I'm sort of, I'm not a boy anymore and I'm not still quite a man. So what I'm sort of trying to play now is still, it's tricky of what I'm going for casting-wise. My advice to anyone who wants to, you know, who wants to do it is, I think find what you're good at and sort of harness it and stick with it. Sort of, you know, as an actor, it's brilliant to play all these different roles and you sort of, you have to get into the sort of skin of so many people. And mannerisms and tics, but effectively, at the end of the day, you can't change the person you are. You can only play to your strengths. So play to your strengths and also learn your lines. Know your lines.
Are you good at learning lines?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much learn them as much as you can, then forget about them and then let them sink into the back of your mind. And then they come out and then it's fresh then. Then it's, you know. It shocks me sometimes how many young actors I work with or you know, even older actors who don't know lines. And if you don't know your lines, then I don't understand. That's the basic sort of form. That's what we're paid for, really, is learn your lines. If you don't learn your lines, you can't do anything.
I've, over the years, found people that have got photographic mind. Boom,
yeah.
And they
take
it in. And as you know, you've got to learn your lines and then become an actor once you've got...
Totally.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I've got a photographic mind. I do, it's really boring. It's like, you know, it's screwing, like, toothpaste caps on toothpaste.
And how do you do it?
You just read? Yeah, you go away and you lock yourself away and then you read it and you read it and then you get someone to read it with you and you do it over and you do it over and then you leave it, you forget about it, you have a day off and then you go back to it. And that's when you try. And I'm very lucky that I'm surrounded by a lot of, you know, young actors, who, you know, I stay with and I live with, and they're all on the same sort of level as me. And it's really easy because they're coming from the same place as me. So reading it with them, you can play with things and you could. But I mean, even if you, once you've learnt it and you let it sit in there, you're then comfortable enough to just try things, even if you're reading it with, you know.
Is Darren precious about his words? Do you have to use every word? It's, buts, ands?
Do you know what? I've never even sort of noticed because we sort of all just... I wouldn't say he does, no. I mean, I think it's, the thing with Darren's writing is that he's so, it's written so well. It's the same with Sally Wainwright's. It's so easy to learn. And Jimmy McGovern's. I did an episode of The Accused, and it's all three of these writers, because it's written so well, it's so easy to learn. And you sort of, if there is an it or a but or an and, it naturally comes out because it feels right to say. You know what I mean?
Jimmy's just got the new one, which is coming out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just...
Yeah,
he allows me to go in to the read-throughs.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I think it's the most flattering thing ever. I always remember the first time I went to a read-through, and he said to me, "You weren't looking at the script; sort of just lived it."
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. No. Exactly.
I'm not in it. I'm just watching.
Yeah. Totally.
I said, I've just lived it.
No, Jimmy was brilliant. I did an episode of The Accused, and it was with John Bishop and Sheridan Smith a while ago. And it was, I was sort of playing the little brother. And there was a bit in it, it was a lovely part, but at the end there was sort of this sort of scene that happens where Robert Sheen, who played my brother, stabbed Sheridan. And we did the read-through, and then the next day, Jimmy had rewritten the whole scene, so it was all me. And he'd given me a whole monologue, which I thought was so lovely, and he'd given me an entire page of dialogue with...
Well, he must love you for
which
that.
Which was lovely.
Because he won't do that.
Yeah.
Because his work is the most important thing. So that was so for him to do that.
It meant a lot. You know what I mean? It was really lovely.
How do you cope with rewrites when you've learned a script and they go, "And I've got to rewrite"?
Benidorm's prepared me for it because it's sort of being out there. There's a lot of, you know, everyone's chopping and changing. You know, ITV have a say, the execs have a say, so it does change. Darren sort of sticks to, once he's written it, it doesn't really change from that. And the same with Sally on Last Tango. Once it's sort of set in stone, you might have the odd word that's changed, but I've never yet really had a big, you know, dramatic change where it's like, okay, this whole scene's gone, or this whole, it's this now, which, touch wood, hasn't happened yet.
Incredible. How much longer filming?
We've been filming series 10 of Benidorm since the end of March. It's the week break now. When are we there? Till the 18th of July.
Wow.
I'm there till the 7th of June. Yeah.
Is it hard working in the summer with the weather?
Do you know what? It's champagne problems because there's people out there who really have to do real jobs, and but when you're in the sun from 8 in the morning till 8, you know, half 7 at night, it is knackering. Your head does. I did a scene on Friday with, we all did the scene, me, Kate, Nutty, Steve. And none of us, by about half four, none of us could get our lines out because our head was just mashed. It was like a fishbowl because you just stood in the sun all day and, you know, you're drinking as much water as you can, but you're just sweating. Mm-hmm. So by, you know, half four in the afternoon, you just...
You've also got to be careful with the sunburn. With the sunburn.
Well, exactly. This, you know, continuity, it is. It's because you are, one minute you're sort of, you know... So the scene you do. I did a scene. Literally did a scene 2 weeks ago. And I'd been in the sun all day, and I had a vest on in the scene, and I went home that night and took it off, and there was just vest marks.
Well, you've actually, because you don't get tanned. You've been getting tanned in this last series.
Yeah,
you've been getting tanned a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is the last series. Yeah, and then the series where basically, I think I can say, I think what I can say definitely is between series 9 and 10. We saw at the end of Series 9, Rob sort of didn't get into university. He was going to work on a building site with Tiger and Joey, and then he decided against it, and he was going to have a gap year. So he has had a gap year. He's been travelling. He's been to South America.
Hence the beard.
Hence the beard, yeah. This has taken me 6 months to grow. Honest to God. I'm not even... No, honest to God. So
if any of you mates are listening, if you want to cause real problems for him, get him drunk tomorrow and shave.
Honest to God, Monday morning, yeah. So he has been travelling, and he's, you know, sort of met someone on his travels, so...
Yeah. Mm. Oh, can't wait, can't wait. You're enjoying it still?
I love it. I love the sort of, as we, you know, we spoke about before, I love this, what is brilliant about this industry is that it enables you to work with some brilliant people, creatively brilliant people, who are all a bit bonkers, in the best way. Yeah. That's why I sort of, you know, that's what I love, in this industry. Every day is sort of... You do get that. I think as soon as that rush stops, then it's when it gets dangerous. When it becomes work, then it's dangerous. Whereas at the minute, it's so. I could never sleep. I could never sleep before a day's filming. It's awful because I'm so excited.
You still get excited.
Still, even now, you know, even series 3 of Benidorm, still the night before, I really struggle to sleep because I'm so excited to get on set the next day. And
where do you all stay?
Everybody's everywhere. There's a lot of people Some people are in the old town. I've been in Benidorm.
Apartments or hotels?
Yeah, apartments.
So you have that freedom to get back.
There's a lot of us go to Albia, which is like 20 minutes outside of Benidorm. I'm in Albia this year just because I've done 2 years of staying in Benidorm. And it's brilliant, but it's very dangerous because as soon as you're in Benidorm, basically. Yeah. So whereas now I'm in Albia and a lot of us are there because it's just a lot quieter. And you can treat it more like, right, we finish work, we can go home and enjoy the sun rather than you're in the madness of... Because it does sort of get, after 6 months, you do walk down the hill to go and get, like, milk and water, and you're in the midst of a stag or hen do. Do you know what I mean?
But, yeah, because you're in that sort of place.
Yeah.
Nora. Mm-hmm. Nice lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just another great character. Not Nora.
Noreen.
No.
What's her name? Oh, my God, what's her name? Elsie Kelly.
No. Oh, I've just had
Oh my God, what's that? I've just spent all...
I've just had a mental block with it. Right.
Johnny's mum. Noreen.
Noreen.
It is Noreen, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Noreen.
Great lady. Used to put pantos on at the...
She still does, doesn't she, yeah?
Floral and... Yeah. Just love her being on telly.
Yeah.
She's
81. She's 81.
I know, she's amazing.
Yeah, she's brilliant. Again, everyone is on that... Yeah. Everyone is such a brilliant character. Everyone makes their characters so, you know, well-rounded and brilliant. Elsie's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, tell me, at the end of it, having a rest or straight into work?
There's a couple of things, Pete, you know how it is. There's a couple of things ticking away. I've been in London all week for meetings. There's a definite film happening in August, but I can't say what it is. Yep. It's only a couple of days. It's a small part, but it's brilliant. But I can't say what it is yet because it's just, I've literally just found out this week. So, you know, I'm sort of 23 and starving. I'm hungry for it, so I'm ready to go and get anything it throws at me. I'd love to go straight into something else, but I don't know. We'll see what happens. Mm.
Young man, I am so thrilled that you've actually come in tonight, more than you'll ever know.
Oh, thanks, Pete.
Love interviewing nice people. I love interviewing scouts that have been successful. I'm so proud. It's been great watching you growing up.
Thank you, Pete.
Because that's what we've done. Us as viewers have actually watched, and can't wait for you to come back.
Thanks, Pete. I'd love to come back. Thank you for seeing me.